Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hey! This is that story show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat and I flew into this lady's house.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, the show that puts your real-life stories into the spotlight. This is episode 442, brought to you the week of July 27, 2023. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here. Okay, so John is sick, and I decided to have my 10-year-old Shih Tzu, I'm pretty sure that's the first time that word's made it on the show, as my guest host. So, Moffitt, do you want to say anything to the people? Okay, he's actually turned around, laid down. Just know that during this episode, though I'm doing it myself, I have a 10-year-old, fairly cute Shih Tzu sitting next to me. Never mind, he just jumped down and walked out of the room. He's typically not allowed in here. And so it's just me now. Thanks, Moffitt. You're the best. Today, we are featuring an interview with a comedian. I'm so excited about it. Her name is Andrea Casperi. So I'd like to get right into it, if you don't mind. I talked with her earlier this week. She's amazing. She's a sweetheart. And I can't wait to get this started. Here we go. Casperi was named the funniest female comedian in Kansas City. She was the winner of the 95.7 The Vibes Big Break and won the Clean Comedy Challenge at the legendary Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena, California. And plus, she's been on Dry Bar, folks, and I know you know what that is. Currently, she's on the Bored Teachers Comedy Tour. You can find out more about that at AndreaCasperi.com/shows. First, let me just say welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so flattered. Thank you for finding me and thank you for inviting me.
Well, we are more honored because we're just a little comedy podcast that's just been doing the same thing forever. And we're going to try our hand at inviting comedians on that are actually funny instead of trying to be funny. And we're excited. Now, you're from the Kansas City area.
Yes, I'm from Parkville, which is just basically 10 miles from the airport, 10 miles south of the airport. So we're everybody's airport ride. Yeah.
Now, you're a teacher.
Yes.
And that's amazing. We like teachers. We think teachers are heroes that don't get paid enough, you know.
I know. Believe me, my husband and I know as we cut the coupons, we know the drill.
So you were an inner city high school teacher that taught reading. Is that correct?
Yes, reading and English, and really just jack of all trades, whatever they needed. I did a journalism class. We did a newsletter because it was a smaller school. But yeah, I taught in two different alternative schools in the inner city in two different districts.
So how was lunchroom duty? Yeah, it says you were a lunchroom employee.
Oh my gosh. Well, no, I was, they just had different duties for us.
Yeah.
So I, like at some point, like in the morning, we had like 20 or 30 minutes before we even started school when I was at Hickman Mills, where I was at the alternative school at Baptiste Management Center. And so we only had like 20 kids in one hallway, but in the morning they had to go through the metal detector. And so we were on different, like we switched every few weeks, we would switch duties. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I was on breakfast duty. Sometimes I was on pat down. That was its own duty. and we would find cigarettes and knives and things that we saved for the teachers for after school. So
Jacob. Yeah, just out back flipping butterfly knives and having some cigarettes. That's great.
I know. Gosh, could you imagine? Oh my goodness. But yeah, all the contraband and such. But kids had all that stuff on them, knowing that they were going through the metal detector and pat down. That's why I thought, I was like, kid, you knew you're coming to school. Come on now.
Maybe it was a status thing, you know. I was like, hey, I got caught with a knife today.
You know, yeah. Oh god. Well, I'm not into the status thing. So I did leave. I didn't leave in anger or anything. I was just like, okay, I needed to be closer to home because it was just such a haul.
It is.
Like 30-minute drive.
It's a draining, it's a draining experience. Now I just have to ask this before I get into my real questions. I found a MySpace. I did a deep dive, and you got to tell me who this little Debbie is.
Little Debbie. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I want to say I retired her, but I haven't.
She's a rapper.
She comes out every once in a while. She's my like rapping alter ego. And she's the reason I have a career. And I still, even to this day, end my set. Not with the rap anymore. Back in the day, I used to have a 3-minute segment. It was DJ friend of mine created beats that I would rap to at the end of every set. And back in the day, I mean, I had the outfit and the chains and the hat and everything. It was so stupid. And someone made me a shirt that said Little Debbie, and I had shirts of merch for sale.
Oh, wow.
Just stupid. Yeah, but I mean, but it put me on the map.
Yeah.
And back in the day, it was kind of funny or whatever, and now it's just ridiculous. So I don't, but I mean, I do kind of do a few bars at the end of my dry bar, the Little Debbie thing. And my husband was really embarrassed because he was like, please don't do that. I don't want you to be like nationally known as this rap star from 2005 or whatever. So.
Wow.
It was a little controversial because one of the schools I taught at found out I did it, and they were just like, you know, this is really weird and this and that. And I was like, you know, and so there was this whole battle. Is it appropriate for a teacher to be a comedian? And they said, yeah, it's fine. So I've been doing both.
Well, good. I'm glad. So, yeah. So do you just tour in the summer?
So
how do you do both?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So here's the fun part. I, on a smaller scale, was doing both throughout the year. Like, it was no big deal. I've been doing comedy for over 20 years. Like, I started in 2001.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I started comedy slightly before I started teaching.
Oh.
So yeah. But it was like open mic and nothing to speak of. And then I started doing it professionally in 06 or 07. But it was easy peasy because we only have 2 comedy clubs in Kansas City. Yeah. And honestly, back in the day, we only had the one. We had the Kansas City Improv, or actually we had Stanford and Sons. So we had 2. We've only ever had 2 comedy clubs. Now we have the Comedy Club of Kansas City, my friend Dustin, an old friend of mine that we started comedy around the same time. He has his own club and it's just taking off. It's amazing. It's really established. He has like Andrew Dice Clay and Margaret Cho and all these great people. Mm-hmm. But, I forgot what I was saying. But anyway,
How do you do both?
Yeah, go ahead. So incorporating both is just crazy because back in the day I didn't have to worry about it. But then last year I joined the National Board Teachers Comedy Tour in July, and I'm touring, going 5-10 days straight, but it's summer. So who cares? Right.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, this is it. I just did a summer tour. And then he said, we're going into the fall. And I was like, oh shoot. Well, I have a contract, you know? Oh no, it's fine. We're only going to do like 1 weekend a month. Okay. So they did that, you know, but I was also still doing local shows and other, you know, shows in Kansas. So I would drive an hour to Topeka and stuff. And then he said, oh, we're doing almost full time in the, you know, spring break and spring and all this stuff. So then I was doing more and more and I ran out of sick days. Everything was a lesson plan. The kids never did the lesson plan. I came back one time. I would stay after to leave like all of these really good lesson plans. And I came back and this kid was like, it was so cool, man. Thanks for leaving the Lego movie. And I said, what happened to the EOC test prep packets? And they were untouched and the kids were just eating popcorn and laughing. I
Yeah, okay. We read the book. Yeah. And everything. So
we read we read Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
So cool. It was really insane trying to do both. And then so I just said, you know, I don't even know. I think I'm going to have to take a year off. And so in May, I told my principal, I'm just going to take the next year to see like what it's like to tour full time, but I'll come back and sub, you know, and I'll probably come back, you know, and then I just needed the year. So that started now. And right now I'm still teaching, or I'm still a teacher, but I did take the year off because it was too taxing, because I would literally be gone Thursday through Sunday and then just slide into school on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would come from the airport. If I couldn't get out Sunday night, I would come Monday morning at 5 a.m. and then slide to school.
Goodness.
Like, that was crazy town. And then still have to grade and be expected to give the tests and go to faculty meetings. And it's like, I just couldn't, I was doing two full-time jobs.
Wow.
So I have taken the year, but it's summer. So I it still feels like summer.
Right. Right. Yeah. So how, this is a question I'm really interested in, because I used to be a pastor. My audience knows I am comfortable speaking in front of thousands of people. I've done podcasting for 16 years. I'm very comfortable with the sound of my own voice and making jokes. But yes. I am starting my journey in stand up with an improv class that I just joined. And I'm so freaking nervous. I don't know why. I don't know what part of it is getting me. But how did you start doing stand-up? I've already done one open mic, and I got good response. But I haven't done open mic number two, you know? How'd you get started? How'd you get the guts?
Oh my gosh, that is such a great question. First of all, may I commend you. I'm so excited about your stand-up journey. That is so freaking cool. You are going to kill it, because you have what it already takes. You're already comfortable speaking to, you know, multiple crowds. You're mm-hmm. already comfortable with your own voice, with your own, humor and such. And you know how to make people giggle. And you also know what it takes. You know, you've heard other people do it. So you have an exemplar of like what it looks like to do stand-up. Now it's just in the doing.
Okay.
And so all you have to do is just keep doing it. This is just like my husband. He's a school bus driver. So we'll get into that if you want, but he's also an artist. Do you remember Garbage Pail Kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he does Garbage Pail Kids. He works for Tops. He does sketch art.
Oh,
so flipping cool. So I'm so proud of him. And but you know, I always like, we look back at his old sketches and he's like, oh, I'm so much better now. But and I say, oh yeah, but I mean, but it's in the doing. He always tells me, you have to just keep doing it. And so I got started years ago. I was dating this guy who lived across, or not lived, but he worked across the street from Stanford and Sons, the big comedy club in Kansas City at the time, mm-hmm. for years. And he said, you know, I think you're so much funnier than the guys I saw the other night. He's like, you should go to open mic. And I'd always wanted to do stand up. I always loved Margaret Cho and Wendy Liebman and Judy Gold. And I just had, you know, George Carlin and Robin Williams. Like, I was just in love with stand up, anything that had to do with comedy. Oh my gosh. And my dad was so funny. He was just like, looked like Rodney Dangerfield and talked like him. And oh, what's going on? You know, like, just really a funny guy. And so funny was in our blood. And so I went to watch an open mic. And I said to my guy at the time, I said, I am funnier than those guys. And there were no women. There were maybe one, and I said, I'll go do that. And then the next week I went, I called in on a Tuesday and I got on the list and I went and I had the best time. It was this night also was infamous. My friend Kyle Paris. This was the night that he brought a fake possum on stage and tried to revive it. Not a fake possum, a real possum.
Oh.
A dead piece of roadkill. I had never met this guy. He had a cooler. And he had like this crazy hair and just this, he just looked funny. Right.
Oh,
we were at the comics meeting before the thing. Anyway, so he goes up and he takes this possum out of the cooler and he says, meet my pet. And then he said, oh my gosh, I think he's dead. Or we need to revive him. And he had he was a regular at the club and someone had placed a vacuum cleaner on the stage and already plugged it in. And so he tried to revive it. Oh, we have to resuscitate my little buddy.
Oh my gosh.
And the stench of death filled the air. People were knocking each other. They were going to Rochambeau for the toilets, just to get into a toilet to vomit in. He cleared almost half the room. The only people left were my friends who had come to see me, and they were nauseated. And I had to go two people after him.
Oh.
And so my first night was so memorable. But I thought, if I can do 3 minutes after this, after the stench of death. Oh, he was also banned for life.
Oh, I bet.
And then he moved to Chicago. They let him come one time before he moved to Chicago. We're still the best of friends. And I still talked to him. He's just hysterical.
He should have been in Georgia, man. That's freaking barbecue right there.
I know, right?
I'm from Georgia as well. So, yeah.
I love it. So I started doing, and I thought, if I can get through this, I can do anything. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I still get some nerves. But it's more like the afternoon before I perform.
Okay.
And then just right before they call my name or when I hear the music. And then the millisecond that I get on stage, I'm totally fine. It's so weird because I was nervous because I had never done theaters until last July when I joined the tour. I mean, we're talking 1,100 people, 1,500, 2,000 in a theater. And I tell you, it's almost easier. Because you really can't see anybody. You're just speaking
to a
wall of sound. It's black.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a club, it's actually more intimate because you can see them. You can see they're not laughing. They are laughing. It's such a different atmosphere. And right now I'm doing both the club and the theater tour. They split into two tours and I'm doing both. So 1 week I'm at the clubs and 1 week I'm doing theaters. It's fun. It's with a different cast each time. They have kind of almost the same people on the theater tour, almost the same cast in the club. And I'm kind of the go back and forth. I love stand up with my entire being. I could not imagine not doing this. I don't know if I said that right, but you know what I'm saying?
No, I got you 100%. Now,
so that's why I'm encouraging you, like, just keep going. It's all in the doing. And whenever I've seen people, like if I haven't seen a comedian friend in a while, let's say it's been 2 or 3 months, and then I watch them again, I'm like, wow, they're so much better. And it's all stage time. It's all stage time. Literally, you can speak into a mirror all day. You can write things and it looks so funny on paper. You can read it. No, you have to hold that mic and you have to, just like my friend Leslie Norris Townsend says. Do you know Leslie Norris Townsend?
No.
Comedian. She's the one, the creator of the Clean Comedy Challenge. She says you have to say it into the mic.
Yeah.
If you're not holding a microphone, it doesn't matter if there are 6 people or 600. If you're not holding the microphone and speaking it and getting some response and then adjusting, you have to audio tape or videotape every single show. Watch it that night while it's fresh. Don't be afraid. Right. I know it's so painful sometimes. Oh, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Or sometimes conversely, like you think you had an amazing show. The other night I thought, oh my gosh, I killed it. I kicked butt. And I listened to it and I was like, oh, it was okay. Maybe not as crushy. You know, it wasn't bad. It was still wonderful and fun, but it was not like it wasn't the Emmy performance I thought, but that's fine. So anyway, please keep going.
No, I will. I'm going to give it a shot. I don't know. Maybe you didn't deal with this. I love making people laugh in casual conversations. My friends think I'm a hoot, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I don't know. You know, I don't know. And I totally feel you on the microphone being on the stage thing because – I know how that is. I feel that 100%. Like back when I was a pastor, like for instance, we did what do they do for Halloween? It's called a trunk or treat. Surely you've heard of those.
We've done that at school. We do a trunk or treat and all the different clubs bring candy and we have like our own little table.
So yeah, I would do the announcements for this because I was a kids pastor. And I had a slideshow and everything, and I had illustrated my little joke. And it was, that we're going to let you guys know in 3 months in advance so that you, if any of you have any junk in your trunk, you can go ahead and get it out, you know, because some of y'all have a lot of junk in your trunk. And yes. People were afraid to laugh. And so I didn't know if the joke hit or not. But afterwards, people were like, oh, dude, that was so hilarious. I didn't think I could laugh. So I didn't laugh. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah.
Oh, no. So that it's funny that you say that, because when I do either corporate gigs, like I'm at you know, like a corporation or a job, you know, like everybody looks for the boss. They're like, is she laughing? Is she laughing? And then they can laugh, you know, it's like noon. And, you know, I mean, they're just watching like for, you know, who's laughing. And at school, too, did the principal laugh? Is he laughing? You know, so, yeah, sometimes it just depends. Because they're like, well, I just don't want to be the only one laughing and stuff. So that's why you have to get them loosey goosey.
Yeah.
You have to allow it. You have to kind of ease into it. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like you are on the right track though.
Awesome. Awesome. That means a lot. So your tour schedule, first of all, what's it like being on tour, which is amazing to me. That's just like built in love right there. You're just automatically getting to do what you love over and over again. And what are some of your favorite places that you've been to?
Well, I have absolutely loved every city that has something fun. Last year, I really enjoyed our California tour. Like, and really this year they were more concentrated on regions. Like, so they had like the theater had more theater stuff, more California specific. And like Napa Valley and Bakersfield and Riverside and this and that, and San Francisco. But I wasn't on the theater tour during that leg. But last year we did San Francisco. We did like a run of Las Vegas and Nashville. And that was just so much fun because those were some of my first weeks with the tour. So it was so exciting. Every time I discovered, oh, this is what it's like on a stage, or this is the new place. And, you know, the meet and greets are so much fun. We have afterwards a meet and greet. Sometimes we'll have six people, sometimes 60. People can pay to upgrade and do VIP tickets. And then they get to meet us at the end and we take pictures and they come and tell. I mean,
we make out, you know.
So. What job do you have? Can somebody tell me what job you have where everybody comes afterwards and tells you how wonderful you just did your 20 minutes of job? Come on. Nobody has that.
It's almost like being a pastor. They will literally form a line in front of you, except some of those people are in line to tell you how bad you did. So
yeah, but that's rare.
Yeah,
that has to be. Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people go to a church they hate, though.
It's
like people that listen to a podcast they can't stand. I've got a sworn adversary that listens to this show, and He pops up in my email every time I reference him.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So,
oh my gosh. Well, hey, bud.
Yeah.
Oh, good. He's drinking some Haterade. They call it Haterade.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, do you have any stories from the road?
Oh my gosh. How much time do we have? seriously, so many different stories. One of my biggest things that's happening right now is it's a phenomenon unto itself. I've never seen it. So, my dad worked for TWA for 43 years. And so I am a seasoned traveler.
Mm.
I love flying. I'm totally fine with flying. Back in the day, I did standby because my dad worked for the airlines, but he had 43 years of seniority. So they would just see this like 12-year-old bumping all the veterans, right? You know, because I had his seniority, right? So I was on, and I didn't care if I had a middle seat. I didn't care if I got on the wing, but I would just get that seat and I would fly wherever, go see grandma, da da da. Well, anyway, now I have a paid seat. They pay to fly us. They pay for the hotel. They get, you know, most of our meals are included because usually there's breakfast at the hotel and they feed us at the club or whatever. So it's just beautiful. They treat us nicely. And now I'm not used to this, but we have assigned seats. So I'll look at my ticket. I don't have to, you know, elbow anybody or hope that that guy doesn't take my seat. You know, I just literally, I have, you know, 17D is mine. But can I tell you that the last month and a half, five, not three, not four, but five times I've come on the plane, there's been somebody in my seat.
Oh, no.
And they tell me that I'm in the wrong seat, or they need that seat because their family's there, or they argue back and forth that this is the window and that's the aisle. And I'm like, but I get the aisle. I am a fluffy gal. I like the aisle. I don't want to squish into the middle.
Right.
I don't want to be pushed up against the window and stick my head out the window like a dog on the plane. I want the aisle. I don't care if I get hit by the drink cart. I need to be able to get up and Susie Q and walk around and whatever. Susie pop-up doll. I just want to walk. I want to be on the aisle. And I had just this older couple the other day. No. You're the window. I'm the, you know, and I'm looking at the grid on the there. It's literally, there's a picture above him. A, B, C. A is the window, sir. You know, whatever. So, and then I have to sit by the guy, you know, for 3 hours. Like, yeah. It's like, hold on. I mean, it's just, I had a woman. I was the only, and this was Southwest where you actually do have to, you know, check in and it's not an assigned seat. It's first come, first serve, but you have to like check in 24 hours ahead and you get your seating assignment. It's not a seat assignment, but it's like your seat, your boarding position.
Yes. So A, anyway, B, or C. Yeah.
Yeah. Your A, B, or C. And so I swear to you, I don't know what I did in a past life to deserve what I got. I was so happy about this. I got A4.
Oh.
A4 is just the unicorn of seating on Southwest.
That's
no one gets A4.
No way.
You have to pay for A4. It has to be your birthday for A4.
Yeah.
I got A4 and I got on the plane and this other woman, she was A5 apparently, she gets on the plane. We are the only five people on the plane. There are five people on the plane. The others are at the very front. They were so excited to be at the front. I go to the middle so I can kind of just stretch out and have my own row and maybe nobody will bother me. Maybe no one will look at me. This woman sits down right by me and says, I'm so serious. I can't make this up. So I'm sitting in the aisle. She sits in the aisle right across from me. So let's just say we're in row 14. She's row 14, but she's in her aisle. I'm in mine. She goes, are you saving any seats? And I said, oh, no. I just have this whole row to myself. And she goes, oh, I'm saving seats. I'm going to need that row. My family's coming. There are four of us. And I said,
what?
What? And she's like, yeah, we have. And we have four. And I was like, oh. And then I'm doing the math. And I'm like, this means that I'm going to, like, I may not have to get up. Right. I mean, there'll be enough room.
Right.
But then I'm going to have her children climbing on top of me.
Right.
Hey, she's going to be diapering them. Yeah. So, but why didn't she go one ahead or one behind? Why is she sitting by me and talking about her save a seat in 15?
Karen, it is so nice to meet you. I've always wanted to meet you in person. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was just really strange. She didn't know me. So I said, well, I'll go ahead and get up. Oh, you don't have to get up. No, I do. I'm going to go sit in the bathroom. No one bothers me there.
I'm going to ask the pilot to save me a seat, you know?
I love it. I, you know what? I almost want to get my pilot's license so I can just sit up there.
Yeah.
Just co-pilot, just hang out. But yeah. And so then just 2 days ago, we're coming to Columbus. I've been posting about this online because no one believes me. They're like, oh, you need to start standing up for yourself and you need this. And no one believes this because they're like, you have an assigned seat. How are this? So the fifth time it happened was the other day. I get on the plane and the woman's not sitting in my seat this time. Oh my gosh, it was so beautiful. There's, you know, there's my aisle. I'm 16D. There's a woman in 16 C, whatever. But my seat is open and I get ready to sit. I shove my bag under. I'm getting ready to sit down. And the woman in 17, whatever B, says, hey, before you sit down, will you switch me? Can you switch me? Because you're sitting by my friend. And I just looked at her and I said, what? And I have several comedian friends on the plane in different rows dying because they know that this happens. And it did, no one asked them about anything, right?
Right,
they're all
right.
Just tucked in and buckled. And I just, what? And she's like, yeah, that's where I want to sit. And she goes, but if you, and she sees my face just shocked because I'm very nice, but I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And why me? Right. Always. And I said, and she goes, well, you don't have to, I'm sure she'll be fine. You know, 2 hours alone. And I look at this grown woman, this 35-year-old woman. And I said, yeah, I think she'll be fine. And I sat down.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
It's okay. You're not, you know, I don't know if she's her handler or what, but I they were just friends on a work trip. I found out later.
She's my emotional support human. So I need to be near her so I can touch her hair if I get nervous on the plane.
Yeah. I touched her hair the whole time. I hope she didn't mind.
She knows how to open those weird bathroom doors. I need her.
So. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Come on.
Oh my.
So that's goodness. That's been and I know that's not even a comedy road story, but that has just been the, everything about the travel, everything is just crazy. I mean, cause we get, basically they fly us into the first city and then we take an Uber to the hotel, kind of get ready, check in, whatever. And on the theater tour, it's one night only each time. The club tour is a little more like 2 to 3 nights in a club. But the theater tour, it's boom, boom, boom. You have about 4 cities. You fly into the first city. You go perform the next morning at checkout or even before. You jump into the Sprinter van, drive the 2 or 3 hours to the next city. You know, it's all done for you. And we have a tour manager. And then you go and it's just repeat, repeat, repeat. And sometimes you don't even know what city you're in. I'll have friends text me and I have to think about it or look at my calendar.
Ask Google. Google, what city am I in?
What city am I in? Oh, and it's funny because
she rolls her eyes.
A lot of times the host will have to turn to us and say, what city are we? Oh, hey, Cleveland.
So we're about out of time, which I hate because I could talk to you all day. I know it's terrible. But you, the board teacher's tour is what you're doing. Is it a clean comedy all ages show?
So oddly enough, so I try to do clean, right? And we have several people who do very like clean comedy, or they're in the Christian Comedy Association. Like there's somebody I got in, Leslie Robb is who I got in to the thing. Like I suggested her and she's been traveling with us. So she's super clean. But no, it's really not an all ages
okay,
show
okay.
because people just kind of, they say, well, teachers need to let loose. And so they say some things that you wouldn't say at a faculty meeting.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
More okay. Behind the closed doors kind of chat.
So do you find though that it attracts people that are closer to clean comedy or let me ask you this way, since maybe it's not a tour question, you do participate in clean comedy shows like on Dry Bar and stuff like that. Am I correct?
Well, Dry Bar was more than clean. You know, have you ever heard the saying, you're not even clean, you're Provo clean? Have you heard that one?
No.
That, oh my gosh. Dry Bar was a trip. So I won the Clean Comedy Challenge, as you said, in Pasadena. And that was put on by Leslie Norris Townsend. She does it annually, sometimes 2 or 3 different cities. And I had not really heard of it. And one of my friends said, you should do the Clean Comedy Challenge. It's really cool. It's up your alley. And so I did that in California and it was super fun. And then that got me into the Dry Bar world and, you know, clean comedy world. And I met so many cool people and I've done shows with them and I've had so much fun. Yeah.
So what's next for Andrea Casperi? What's in your future? What are your goals? Yeah.
My goals, my husband is my biggest. So first of all, can I just give a shout out?
Please
to my
do.
My delicious, beautiful husband. I have to giggle because you have referenced MySpace a few times.
Yes.
And I have to laugh because I held on to my MySpace for dear life. I didn't want to give up my butterflies and my music and my glitter.
Right, right.
And I was so upset because everyone said, you're such a nerd. You're not on Facebook. And this was like 2006 to 2008. And then Facebook became the biggest thing. And I was like, fine, I'll go on Facebook. And I jumped on there. And within 6 hours, a man jumped into my inbox, my DMs. And he was just like, how do you know Casey Reagan? We had a mutual friend. And I said, oh, she was my debate person partner. And he said, oh, I knew her at MC Sports. I worked with her. And then 6 days later, we met in person and we are married 14 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm so glad I joined Facebook. Sorry,
no joke.
See you in the dust, man.
You don't want to know how we're planning to have our first child, you know. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What website's that? Yeah, I don't know.
I absolutely love Facebook because I met my husband. We've been married 14 years or married 12 years.
Okay.
Happily married 12, unhappily 8. But I will say that, no, I'm just kidding. That's the joke. That I didn't execute that well at all. It comes out way funnier on stage. See why I don't do bits? I don't do bits.
Right.
So anyway, but we've been happily together 14 years. He is my biggest supporter. He giggles because most of our bits, like, you know, people say, oh, how do you write and this and that? My husband and I play off of each other and then we'll write it down. Like he said he recognizes all of my comedy because these are like conversations that started at dinner or that we go back and forth. He is the funniest man I've ever met. I guess that's flattering to me too, right? No, we are both so compatible and play, and he's so supportive because he's home with the dogs. He's watching the house. I'm running around living my dream. And he's fine with whatever I need to do.
That's awesome.
Everything is to get to the dream. And so the next things I want to do, I want to be a corporate speaker and performer. I don't know if you know Jeannie Robertson. Did you ever?
No, I'm so new to this world as far as recognizing names. I could have seen somebody and not remember their name. So,
okay. Well, Jeannie Robertson, God rest her soul, she passed away a few years ago. I met her in 1994. She was doing corporate speaking. She was 6'2" with eyes of blue. I mean, just the cutest thing. She kind of sounds like Leanne Morgan. I adore Leanne Morgan. So funny in Dry Bar. I worked with her a little bit and she's just hysterical. But Jeannie Robertson is her legacy is what I'm vying for. I want to make her proud. I want to do what she does, and that is make people happy all around. You can still be clean. You can still be funny, palatable for work or school. I want to speak to schools. I want to inspire. And that's what she does. That's what she did. And in her videos and her legacy still do that. But I would like to have a career befitting of Jeannie Robertson in her honor, because that is what I want. I want to write books. I want people to read or hear me and just feel good. I want to leave them better than they came in.
So no plans to put out an album, like a hip hop album.
No. Little Debbie. Oh my gosh. Why does she follow me all the time?
Cause you did it. I have a clown character that I used to do called JoJo the Christian Clown. And this podcast community will not let me forget him. And
I won't let you not send me a link. I have to see JoJo the Christian Clown. Are you kidding now?
He had a podcast, okay? And you have to know Christian culture. There's always these Christians that just got out of jail and they got Jesus, but they don't exactly know what to do with him. And so everything's evil that they used to do. But they've got lots of advice and lots of stuff, you know, that they give. And JoJo the Christian Clown was exactly that. He could see evil in almost anything. So, So
I have to find. Is there footage? My only question is, where's the link?
Really? There is one where I did a open mic night at a church, and he sang the song "Jesus, Please Bless Me Financially." Where he spends all his, the joke is you spend all your money and then you ask Jesus to come and save you, even though you could have been a good steward over your finances. But
yes, please. You think you did a deep dive on my MySpace? I'm about to do a deep dive on JoJo the Christian Clown.
I'll send you some links. That one I might have to upload because I don't think I've had the guts to share that one. Oh,
that's so cute. I love stuff like that though. I'll have fun with it.
All right.
I just, this has been way too much fun.
I agree.
I can't believe that it's almost over.
It is. I want to give you a moment to tell everybody where they can find your amazing self online.
Okay. So thank you so much, everybody who's listening. I hope that you guys, find my videos and have a good time and, you know, whatever. Just look up AndreaCaspari.com. For like everything. And my tour dates have changed a little bit. Like, they just rearrange sometimes because it's an ensemble. So I just have to, my good friend Liz Wendell is also my site creator. So she'll jump on AndreaCasperi.com soon and get all the right links, dates. But my big thing is I'm trying to grow my Instagram and TikTok following, because I swear followers are currency in this day and age.
Yes,
and
it's they
such
are.
A, right? And, you know, and it's such a different way of doing things. You know, you've been doing comedic things and, you know, entertainment for a long time. And now, just in the pandemic and such, everything grew to be online. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to build my following, and I feel like I'm just so behind, because we have, some people have 1.5 million TikTok followers on the tour, 2.5 million. And so people come, they're such a draw. And when they see my show, they enjoy it and they had fun, but I want to be a draw. I want people to come, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm trying to build my following. So I am on Instagram at Caspari Land, and that's C-A-S, P as in Paul, A-R-I-L-A-N-D.
Okay.
See how it's just not... It's not catchy, but it's just, it's my little world, Caspari Land.
Yeah.
And then now here's how old I am, or just like, just how ancient my skills are. I cannot get into my Caspari Land on TikTok. So I had to create Caspari Land Comedy is my new handle on TikTok.
Okay.
I can't get in. I can't get in. So I wanted all my handles to be the same.
Right.
Darn it. So Caspari Land on Instagram, Caspari Land Comedy on TikTok. And who knows on Threads, right? Gosh. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
Is that dead yet?
I don't know. I just went over there and got an account, got my name in, and then left. I haven't done anything.
Nobody's done anything with that thing. I don't know. But now Twitter, I barely have a Twitter, so we won't even talk about it. But
what are you talking about? There's no Twitter. It's X now. It's
okay. I was just going to ask, is that real, or was I?
I think.
Did I have a fever dream?
I think it's Elon Musk having a laugh with everybody, honestly. But yeah, I had some questions about that. I mean, X is what you used to write when you didn't know how to write your own signature. Now it's apparently what you use when you can't think of a good name or a brand. You know, so.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, he's known for coming in and ruining things or taking over good ideas or whatever. So. I don't know. I just want to grow my following. I'm trying to put out videos. Board teacher. Also, if you want to look at all things board teachers, it's B-O-R-E-D, like board teachers. Mm-hmm. I'm all over that. And you guys, it's everything. They keep everything clean, almost everything clean. The board teacher skits and things like that. So
yeah,
I don't want to vouch for that though.
That's fine. Our people,
I get nervous because if people see stuff, and I don't want to be associated, you know, I'm very proud to be part of them, but I don't censor that, other comics.
Our people are okay. They're got a thick skin. Well, guys, I want to encourage you to follow Andrea on all of her social media. Let's show her the love that you show me every single week here on That Story Show, and let her know that she was on this show by upping those numbers. Find her on YouTube, find her through the comedy tour. If she's coming to a town near you, you need to go and support her. And I'm just thrilled that you were able to come on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for having me. There is no subject I love more than, I was going to say myself, comedy. There's nothing I love to talk more about than comedy. Thank you for reaching out, because I really want to stay part of your journey. And if there's anything I can do to help you, and I'm talking tips, or, you know, if we're in the same city at some point and we can hang out, just let me know. I would absolutely love to help you on this journey.
Thank you.
Super excited for you.
Oh my goodness. You've just endeared yourself to everybody in the show, because I don't say this pridefully. I am well loved, not as much as John, my co-host, but I am well loved in my community. And anybody that wants to help out James is like an automatic hero for all of us. So thank you so much.
I appreciate, James, I just appreciate you. And I also appreciate, thank you for all that you do to uplift everyone. You and John have created a community where people do feel like they can be themselves, that they can enjoy comedy that is not offensive, that is happy and fun, and just, it's what it's for. So thank you for creating a community where people can really just live and let live.
Well, you're the best. We love you. And we'll have to do this again sometime.
Please. I'm sure there'll be more road stories, and maybe somebody will be in my seat tomorrow and I'll have another story for you.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. Take care.
All right, James, take care.
Isn't she amazing? I mean, oh, don't you want to just go up there and hug her neck? Oh, that thing she said at the end about the podcast, that just shows that she probably listened and everything. Anyway, I love her to death. Matter of fact, I love her so much, I found out that she's going to be in St. Louis in October, and I've already got my tickets. I'm going to be in the second row right in the middle, and it's going to be awesome. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. I know it's a little different than our normal episode. If you would, say a prayer for John so that he will get better and we can do a normal podcast next week. Speaking of next week, we have another special guest. So we're excited to announce that we'll have comedian Andy Woodhull guest hosting on August 3rd. Andy's been featured on Dry Bar Comedy, The Late Show, Conan, and The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And we'll be recording the live show on Discord, so you can join us to hear Andy share his funny stories and insights. The show starts at 5 p.m. Central on our Discord server. You can find out more about that at thatstoryshow.com. So we hope you'll join us. Thanks again to Andrea for being on the show today. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
This show is part of the Nobody's Listening podcast community. Get more at nlcast.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.